Blog Talk Radio.
To you. I am so excited to be back on the air. I apologize for my absence last Wednesday because I was hit by 13 inches of snow here in Connecticut and I was not able to be broadcasting. So I do apologize for that. We were out of power, out of internet and telephone, and I'm so extremely excited to be back with you today. And also last Sunday, which was the last time that I was on the air, we were abruptly put off the air because we had some server issues. So you know how excited I am today. Today is a very special segment. I will bring on live momentarily my honored guest, Mr. Sean Roca. And Mr. Roca and I met when I had his mother on my show a couple of weeks ago. And we got into an extremely informative dialogue, so much that I thought him worthy of getting some airtime. And he is going to be on later on to share his story growing up in a single parent household. And I want for you to call in and ask some questions, and if you have any insight on what our conversation is about, by all means, I want you to weigh in. The chat room is up and running, and the telephone number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And you do not need to wait for the end. I will accommodate your questions during the show. So just go ahead, call in, show my guests some love if you're in the chat room. I'm going back and forth from the switchboard to the chat room. So bear with me if you're there and I have not recognized you yet. So again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And we will be on from now until 8:30. And before I bring my honored guest on live, I want to remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference 2012 coming up on March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City. And the speakers on the platform are Simon T. Bailey, billionaire, Mr. Leon Ellis, restaurant owner and entrepreneur and motivational speaker from Harlem. John Mullock, positive achievement specialist out of Scotland. Crystal Washington, social media strategist and marketing specialist out of Houston, Texas. Mr. Willie Crawford, joint venture guru and millionaire out of Florida. And Mr. Brian Ridgway is a transformational mentor out of Hawaii. And Mrs. Ariella Mitchell Durant is a copyright and intellectual capital attorney out of Arizona. Mr. Steven Jackson, who is the original geek, as he refers to himself, is a multimedia guru out of New York. Dr. Cheryl Cuttle, strategic planner and business development consultant out of Canada. Mr. Sam Orr is the CEO and founder of One Voice Worldwide, headquarters in Atlanta, and a location in the UK. Mr. Kobe Huberman, CEO of Strategic Landscape Limited out of Israel. Mr. Edward Foxworth III, personal productivity strategist out of Detroit. Mrs. Jennifer Sertl, author and strategic specialist out of Rochester, New York. And Mrs. Chandel Pitts, design consultant, owner of Black Cat Design from Virginia. Mr. Jim Nemley, founder of the Better Business Bureau, Better Business Builders out of New York City. And I'm so honored to be the host and founder of the Vision Weekend Conference. So here is what you can do for us in the meantime. Please visit our fan page at facebook.com/visionweekend and spread the word to all your friends and followers. If you are looking for a vision transformation revolution weekend, this is the place to be on March the 23rd through the 26th. So let us see you there. We are looking to spend this time with you. My friends and I have gotten together because we believe so much in you and we want to help you transform your life. So now, without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored guest, Mr. Sean Roker out of New York City. Sean, welcome to the A New Day Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How are you doing tonight?
I am wonderful, and how are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. I'm thankful that you have carved this time out to spend with me because you are so passionate about many of the things that I myself am passionate about. Being a single parent myself of one son, you and I have a lot and your family have a lot in common, and this is why I'm so super excited about you being here. But before we get into our dialogue, would you please use this time to introduce yourself to my listeners and tell them as much as you want them to know about Sean Roker.
All right. Well, I am currently an MBA student at St. John. I'm a graduate assistant for the women's tennis team, so I'm fortunate enough to have them pay for my schooling during the duration of the program. I'm studying marketing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and I actually a couple of years ago were talking with one of my friends in the car, and she's always said, oh, she should write a book about something, she should write a book about this, she should write a book about that. And our idea was, you know, she has a lot of information about being a single parent, and I think she's done an excellent job, and we actually convinced her that she should write a book about all the tools that single parents should use to raise their children.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years later, it's come to fruition.
Right, and we're going to get into all of that. But I like to start at the beginning. And I know especially for boys, it is sometimes challenging with them not having a father in the home 24/7. And at what age, if at all, were you concerned about not having your father in the same house like you were? Was there a time when it was like a concern for you?
No. Actually, my mom did a fantastic job when she was raising me. I was never even really aware to the point where I would think about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of male influences in my life through playing sports and tennis, and it's actually something the first book is based a lot on that. The fact that even though my dad wasn't in the household, there were always role models for me to look out for, role models for me to look up to.
Wonderful. So is there a time, although your father wasn't there, you had positive role model and influences in your life from day one, from the get-go? So there was no yearning for a role model in your life as a male mentor or a male figure.
Right.
However, children talk when they go to school. And were you ever being questioned by your classmates as, you know, I don't see your father come to pick you up, and a kid's nosy and talk a lot?
Actually, I don't know whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, but for middle school especially, majority of the population was African American, and the majority of the population did not have fathers in the household. So I wasn't the exception, I was the rule.
Right.
Across the country in America, a lot of African American households do not have a father in the home.
Can you put the phone a little closer to you, because the volume is kind of getting low?
Sure.
Right.
Is that better?
Extremely. A lot better. Thank you. Yeah, so instead of the sore thumb, you fit in with all the other fingers on hand because, hey, you're one of us. There's no father there either. So it's not like you were standing out and everybody else have daddy coming in. You were there too.
Yeah, and you know what? It's something that we don't really talk about as kids. You know, we don't say, oh, your father's not there either, or your parents are there. It's not something that you really address. In fact, no one really addresses it.
Right.
It's just something that is. It's a state of being. And I think that's one of the things that needs to change.
We have
to acknowledge that the kids who are, you know, growing up with, whether or not it's a father not being in the home or a mother not being in the home or both parents not being in the home and then being raised by a grandparent, some of the stuff just needs to be addressed so that the kid can adjust accordingly.
Right. I could not agree with you more, Sean, because for a decade, this kind of a conversation is pushed under the carpet. And nobody wants to talk about it. It's such a shame. And even some kids, I work with families too in my business, and there's a lot of fabrication as to the parents being this or the parents being that, because the kids are just making believe about what, instead of people just encourage them, you know, here, it is what it is. It's not good or bad. It is what it is. You are dealt this hand. Let's do the best in helping you to play the game with the hand that you are dealt. Coming back to you, I want to welcome Erlene Parsons from Trinidad and Tobago. I want to welcome Vanna from Jamaica. Thank you, ladies, for joining me this evening. And to welcome my guest, Sean Roker. So it is, and, you know, to have you on this show speaking about this, this is the beginning of something grand. Because as you continue to do the work that you are doing alongside your mother and for touching the lives of middle school children and high school children in your community, Sean, you are helping to mold more Seans who will find themselves and find their voice through you to tell their stories to help others. Do you see that as something in the making?
Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give everybody the best chance possible to be successful. And I don't think that someone, especially a child, should be disadvantaged because they don't have both parents in the household. So that's something that we're really trying to focus on, is giving single-parent households a leg up.
You know, when I had your mother on the show, I don't know if you were listening, when she said that one of her pet peeves is seeing women taking their boys to the nail salon to sit around and wait for them and the beauty shop. And then this past Thursday, I was in my beauty shop, and guess what happened? A woman walked in with her son, and I burst out laughing. And my stylist asked me why I was laughing, so I told him what Kathleen said on the show. He said, "Man, if I was there, I would give her a hug." I am thinking the same thing. They always bring those boys here when those boys need to be someplace else building relationships. And I think that is because sometimes mothers are overprotective, especially when they don't have a father around and they just want to keep their eyes. Did you at any time felt that your mother was kind of overprotective towards you?
actually, yeah. I mean, you know, not overprotective now that I'm older, but of course when I'm younger, I think my opinion on things are a little bit different. But
yes.
One of the great things that she allowed me to do was she would continually work on herself and encourage me to work on myself. So if that was one of the issues that she had, then she definitely worked on it. Because I played tennis, I was allowed opportunities to travel, and she's like encouraged me to travel as well. And so I've been to London, I've seen Wimbledon, I've been to Spain and a couple of other countries as well. Through experiences and meeting people. So the overprotectiveness, I'm sure it's there, and I'm probably sure it's still there now. But
exactly,
it was something. It was great of her to be able to at least acknowledge that it's a factor, and then being able to overcome it to allow me to grow as a person.
And that takes me to the next question I wanted to ask you. As you look back over your childhood, what were the extracurricular activities that your mom was fervent in having you do?
Okay, so in addition to tennis, I mean, I talk about tennis just because it's been such a big part of my life. I've played for something like 17 years now. I've been playing
tennis. Beautiful.
Yeah, so that was huge. But in addition to that, I mean, I've played basketball probably just as long. Basketball and tennis were huge parts of me growing up and meeting people and stuff like that. So sports in general, especially for male role models, were hugely important. And one of the issues with that is not all male role models, especially sports role models, would be good. So her ability to find the good role models and enroll me in those programs just helps me that much more.
Wonderful, wonderful. And the next question is, are you overprotective of your mother? Because I know boys are overprotective of their mother.
I am absolutely overprotective of
her. Huh?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's funny. So we have a close relationship. So we talk all the time, and it's just one of those things. So I'm working on that too.
Yeah, you know, we're all a work in progress, because it's so funny. I'm laughing when I ask you that. Do you know there is a book? I forget who the author is. Black Boys and Their Mothers.
I believe I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read it, though.
No, yeah, I bought the book. Yes, yes. It's amazing because boys, they are just as overprotective about their mothers as the mothers are overprotective of them. But it is such a bond that no one can ever break or go between, you know, because that's a special bond. So let's talk about your tennis. You have played that for 17 years. And so that means you could categorize yourself as a professional tennis player. And now you are in grad school. And I was told that being a tennis player has opened up an extremely lucrative position for you to be at grad school.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wouldn't categorize myself as a professional tennis player. I would say I'm a really good tennis player. I would leave it there. But it has opened a whole bunch of opportunities, and the addition to being able to travel.
Your volume is going again.
In the addition to traveling,
yes,
it has opened up this opportunity to work again as a graduate assistant for the women's tennis team, and it's just been great. I mean, I love the game, and I've played it forever, and now it's been able to pay off.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So for those young people who may be listening now or will be listening on the archive, what are some words of wisdom you would like to impart to them if they are in a single parent household? What you have been there, done that, as the people say. What can you tell them to kind of shorten their learning curve?
Well, I would do two things. So one, it's not just about the parent, and it's not just about the child. It's really about both. And if both aren't willing to grow together and communicate, then, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult to be successful than otherwise. So what I would say is, growing up is not the end goal. There's no such thing as growing up completely. There's always a lesson to learn.
There is
always more growth that can be made. And this is to parents and children, because as you get older, I mean, when children hit those teenage years, because I had this as well, you think you know everything. But in addition, when parents are dealing with children, they think they know everything. And if you have two people that think they know everything, then you really don't get anywhere. So parents setting the example for the kids, but also kids being open to learning and growing with their parents.
You know, there's a supporter I have who listens to every episode, and she's from Trinidad and Tobago, and she says she was thankful that growing up she had both her parents. They stayed together until death. However, growing up her children, they were at a disadvantage because they only had her. So, you know, wherever you are over the world, there is this kind of thing that's happening. And as I said at the top of the hour, is to play the game with the hand that you are dealt and make the best out of it. And well, as I look over the work that your mom is doing now, she did not only raise you and stop. She is now investing into the lives of other single parents all over the world. So that's a very important role that she has taken on. And I can see that you're joining her in doing that as well. Because for me, when I was raising my son all by myself, a lot of the resources now that is around, I didn't have it. So it's good that we are in this conversation now, and people can hear you, and your mom is doing presentations, and you are doing presentations, and there's also quick reach on the internet that people can reach out to people who have done something to enhance the family.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great mission. Sorry, I think it's a great mission that we're on, and just knowing that we didn't do this by ourselves allows us to have the inspiration to give back.
Exactly. When you speak with these children in the middle school now, what are some of the feedbacks that you're getting from them, Sean?
Actually, so a lot of the times we'll speak with the children and their parents, not just the children by themselves. And it's really funny. When we speak to them, they'll like shake their head, they'll nod their head, and
in agreement.
The kids.
Affirming,
Right. So the kids affirm the information that we're providing. And
that's right.
So it's really about connecting with the parents and getting the parents to do the same.
And it's
difficult.
Yeah, to the parents, because you see what happened. The parents are holding on to guilt, shame, and ego. All that is getting in the way. I tell you, I read a post on your mother's page when she mentioned about a 7-year-old after she did a presentation. Came up unsolicited to thank her. And it brought tears to my eyes, because that 7-year-old knows that here is a lady that's in my corner. Here is a lady that is putting out information to allow my parent to begin to think differently. And that is powerful.
Yeah,
that is powerful.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, when I was growing up, there was the saying that children is seen or should be seen or not heard. But not anymore. You know, not anymore.
Yeah.
Now we must involve our children in stimulating dialogue. You know, especially with the families and the parents working 2-3 jobs. They leave before the kids get up, and they come back when the kids are gone to bed. So there is no conversation. The times when families used to have dinner and get engaged in stimulating conversation about Mama's Day, Papa's Day, the children's day, and what's going on in your life. Now that is being replaced with television and video games. And I'm not saying that that is bad, but we still need to have the one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that. And the whole saying that children should be seen and not heard, heard that before, and it's from a different time, because in that case, kids could, when they were not being heard, they could go out and they could read a book or they could go out and play, but there weren't a lot of options where they could get other information from. So they would be
That's right.
only seen and heard when the parents had decided, when the community would decide that they were to be seen and heard. And now it's, if you don't watch them or listen to them, they will find some other information, some other source to
grow. And exactly. And a lot of times, sources that they are turning to are not positive ones. And this is why a lot of our girls are ending up being mamas before they don't even understand that they get into puberty themselves, because they are turning to boys for love. And they have to understand that they must begin to love themselves. And unless they can start to demonstrate self-love, they cannot be looking for love outside. Ashawn, take a sip of water. I just want to take a commercial break and I will be right back. If you are just joining me, I am in conversation with Mr. Sean Rocha, and we are talking about growing up in single-parent household. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And I want to remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference 2012 to take place on March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway, at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City. My speakers are Simon T. Bailey, Leon Ellis, Jan Mollock, Crystal Washington, Willie Crawford, Sam Orne, Cheryl Cuttle, Stephen Jackson, Ariella Mitchell-Durant, Brian Ridgway, Kobe Huberman, Ed Foxworth, Jennifer Sertle, Chandel Pitts, James Nemley. Check us out on Facebook.com. We are on Twitter at Vision Weekend. And also check out our page at VisionWeekendConference.com. You got to mark the date to be there. We are excited about helping you to transform your life, and we want you to show up. All you need to do is to show up, and the rest is going to be up to us. If you are interested in taking your life, your career to the next level, if you are looking to create legacies for the next generation, all road leads to the Vision Weekend Conference 2012 at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in Times Square, New York. Hope to see you there. Yes, Sean, you still with us?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, when you turned teenager, was it challenging for you to get into conversations with your mother? And what kind of conversations would you get into with her?
Teenager.
That's too long ago.
You know, it's always challenging as a teenager. You're learning a lot of stuff, and you're trying to see, as you get older, how much independence you actually have. So there's still a certain amount of there's still a certain amount that you have to rely on your parents for things. So in my case, I had to rely on, my mother and my grandmother, who was around for, you know, stuff like food and, you know, transportation and allowance and things of that nature. At the same time, you're growing up, and in high school at least, I was traveling an hour and a half to go to high school in the city, to actually one of the prestigious high schools in New York, in the country.
Right.
So traveling by myself all the way into the city had gave me a certain amount of independence, and you really have to find the balance.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot of conversations. between different mom and some arguments as well, to really have her educate me on how, you know, how much freedom was okay, and for me to try to explain to her how much I could handle. So, yeah, it's a process throughout being a teenager, or, you know, process throughout life. I don't really think the process ever ends, but I think that's a huge part of the development.
So you know now I'm gonna get real personal. Do you remember the first girl you had a crush on? Did you come and tell your mama?
Nope.
That was an easy answer. Nope. You didn't tell her at all, huh?
Nope.
Why didn't you tell her?
Never really talked to her about that before. We started once I got older, but, you know, it's not really one of those things. Actually, someone, I'm my mother's only child, and someone told me something important that I've kind of kept with me. Had she had a girl, they would probably talk about stuff like boys and, you know, other stuff like that. But with me, I'm not the most open person, so I don't really share a lot of stuff like that with anybody. So I have another thing that I've been working on is lately I've been, you know, getting her input on situations and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you know, Sean, if you don't get her input on those things, you can't be giving her no input on those when she's stepping out, you know. So this goes two ways. Oh, Vanna says, Vanna, the lady that's on from Jamaica, Sean, she said boys are secretive.
Girls are secretive too. Everybody has their secret.
Huh?
I said everybody has their secret.
Everybody have their secrets, Vanna, he says. Everybody have their secrets. That's too funny. But I say boys are secretive. We all are secretive, but it's just amazing. If you're just joining me, and I want to welcome guest 10361 to the show. My guest is Mr. Sean Roker out of New York. So please call in 646-915-8166. And just show my guest some love, and if you have any questions for him, we'll be willing to answer. Again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I'm on with Sean Roker. Yes, Sean. So, when you went into high school, was it any easier for you being from a single parent? What was the ratio there with the kids who had parents at home or in high school? That was something that was not, you didn't talk about much.
Well, in middle school, because your parents usually pick you up, get a bigger example. My middle school was predominantly African American, so I could see that a lot of people didn't have fathers in the home. But in high school, it was a little bit different. So
yes.
The breakdown was something like 40% Caucasian, 40% Asian, and for African Americans, it was like 7% of the high school. In a graduating class of, I think, somewhere around 800. So, let's see. I mean, one of the things that I noticed in high school definitely was that all my black friends, most of them didn't have fathers in the household.
And
so
that's
I don't know specific numbers, but...
That's right.
Going through my friends, some of them who I still keep in contact with, I know that that was a... That was something that I started to realize as we were proceeding with this book.
Right. And you know, Sean, I think this is the right time for me to commend you for taking up the baton next to your mother to change what is happening in the black homes. Because too many black men are planting garden, they are sowing seeds, and they might be around to see the seed germinate. But you see, when that seedling is ready to be transplanted, they are not around. And it's going to take you pounding the pavement, standing on many platforms to remold the young black men of today, to let them know it is not all right. It is just not all right. You need to be there for your children. You need to be there. So, I mean, with your education and everything else, you could have just turned your back on this endeavor, but you didn't. Why would you say, Sean, that you are so committed in getting the word out?
Well, my mom has a lot to do with it. She's just such a great role model that... Mm-hmm. It's just something that's been important to me. It's been ingrained in me, and that's how I was brought up. So she has a large bit to do with it. And seeing the state and the frustration of people, there's just so much to learn, especially in today's society. Everybody is about instant gratification because in so many areas, that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been taught is that growth is really a process. So that's what we're trying to share with everybody else. And even if you are in a situation where, as a parent, you are raising a child by yourself, male or female parent, if you're raising a child by yourself, just to give them the information that can help them be successful.
Because
there's really not a lot of places where they can go. To get the kind of information that we're providing.
Sean, would you say spirituality play any role in your life growing up until now? If so, what role does it play?
It plays a huge role. Actually, when I was in middle school going into high school, I was having, I was becoming a teenager, having kind of a rough time, and my church actually had a program called Rites of Passage.
What is it called?
It's called Rites of Passage.
Rites of Passage. Your volume is going again, that's why. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so it was Rites of Passage, and it was for males from the age of, I believe it was 11 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it was essentially about growing up spiritually, but also being able to take responsibility for your actions. And it was a great mentoring experience. So, I mean, having an opportunity like that, and having the church community be involved in developing that was a fantastic part of my life.
What would you attribute being a black male, you know, all the stereotypes that and the labels that they put on black male, what would you attribute your success to that you know, held you above all that stereotype, that today you yourself, you are now a role model for other young men? What would you attribute that to?
It has to be a number of things. My dad actually remarried and had two children, and they're both younger than me by 7 and 11 years. So them looking up to me was a huge part. So having someone who's looking up to me as an example was pretty big. But in addition to that, just my mom's involvement in every step of the growing up process.
Mm-hmm.
And every step of choosing who I was allowed to be around and who I wasn't allowed to be around and what programs I was allowed to go to and what programs I wasn't. That in itself probably had a lot to do. You know, tennis was great because it just put me around a completely different group of people than I was used to being around.
So,
combination of all those things. I don't think it was one thing in particular. It took a lot to, you know.
Right. So I think it would be safe to say then your choices, the influences that were around you, your exposures, all that compiled together is what helped you. So
absolutely,
it doesn't matter what society says about you and what label they stick on you, you can still make the right choices to turn that around.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely.
I want to welcome guest 10487 to the chat. If you are just joining us, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Mr. Sean Roca out of New York City. So come on, guys. The number to call is 646-915-8166. So get the phone ringing. You know I just love when you call in. So call us. Ask a question. You hear he's a very knowledgeable young man. I don't even know his age, but he's extremely young. You can look on his picture and you can see. And he has 24. And he has a wealth of information. So for all of you who know kids, I know I sent this this show out to many people who I know are single parents. I don't see you all calling in and I don't see you joining. Well, this is your opportunity. Don't be saying that, oh, I wish I had called in to ask some question when that man was on your show, because now you have the opportunity to do so. So just go ahead and call in. Give me a minute for another commercial break.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. And again, I'm reminding you, March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Week Hotel, it's going to be a vision transformation revolution. You got to be there to hear this amazing platform of speakers. Leon Ellis, John Mullock, Crystal Washington, Willie Crawford, Sam Orme, Cheryl Cuttle, Steven Jackson, Ariella Mitchell Durant, Brian Ridgway, Kobe Huberman, Edward Foxworth III, Jennifer Sertle, Chandel Pitts, James Nemley, Simon T. Bailey, and yours truly, the dynamic one. You got to be there on March the 23rd through the 26th. Visit our website, visionweekendconference.com, for more information. And in the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at visionweekend1 and join our fan page at facebook.com/visionweekend. Back to you, Mr. Sean. So other than tennis, what do you do now for fun?
Let's see. Actually, the other day, yesterday, in fact, I got together with a couple of friends from high school and college, and we went and played touch football in Central Park. And, you know, one of my friends is on his way to Hong Kong to spend a couple of years there working for a financial company. So
nice.
Had dinner with him.
Beautiful.
And yeah, you know, watch football.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's wonderful. So you are still in touch with majority of your friends from high school and college?
I actually try and keep in touch with as many people as possible. Social networking has made it a lot easier.
Isn't that amazing? That is beautiful.
It is.
And what do they think about the new role that you are playing? It has nothing to do with what you study at college and everything, but how do they feel about all of that?
They think it's great. A lot of my friends have read the book or purchased the book, and just the information, even from them. I mean, they're all my age, and very few of them, if any, are parents. But the information that's provided in the book is just so great that we always get positive feedback from them.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you started that off, because I want to talk about the book now.
Sure.
Let's talk about the contents of the book. Because your mother was talking about it from when, and you and your friend said to her, well, you know, hey, it's time for action. Stop talking. And I know you're actually co-author of the book. So let's talk about the contents of the book.
Sure.
And I don't know if you have one close to you, but you can talk about each part of the book and if any part of it is a favorite of yours and why, please.
Okay. Which part is my favorite? Well, my favorite part, my favorite chapter is going to be, it's the bonus chapter. I'm not going to go into too much detail.
Don't talk about that yet. Let me make it easier for you. The topic, tell the people what the title of the book is.
Okay, so the title of the book is called Single Mother, the New Father, and
mm-hmm.
Volume 1, Sports. So
no.
Single Mother, the New Father is the series, and then this
uh-huh.
is the first volume in the series.
Mm-hmm. And how did you both choose that title for the series?
Well, we had a couple of different titles that we were going through, and they were pretty generic.
Yeah.
So when we were thinking about something, we would just, you know, be doing laundry or being out to dinner or whatever, and then come back and say, do you think this is a good title? And Mom came up with the title. And when she came up with the title, we just kind of knew that it was an edgy title, it would grasp people's attention, and
yeah.
it would, at the very least, have people talking about the problem, which is more than what we've had in the past. So
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because dialogue
yeah, so.
Is needed. Dialogue is needed. So, yeah, as you all streamline each chapter, and then you don't have to go into detail, but as you look on each chapter, how many chapters are in the book?
There are 12 chapters and a bonus.
Okay. So, you can thumb through, because you want people to go buy the book after they listen to this segment. But As you both wrote each chapter, what was going through your minds? What was the thought process for each chapter? That much you can tell the people, and then you tell them why the bonus chapter is your favorite.
Okay. All right. So the first chapter I'll start with, it's called Not If, But What Is the Question? And when we were really talking about the book, this was the obvious place to start. Just
right.
Because I've never known any part of my life without sports. So it wasn't for me if I was going to play, but
what
I was going to play.
Yeah.
So I played, like I said, I played basketball. I played Little League Baseball. I played soccer. I played tennis. I've played football, I've played volleyball, I've played pretty much anything that you could possibly do.
Wow.
So it wasn't a matter of whether or not I was going to get into sports. I was into sports before I could choose for myself.
Yeah, which one were you going to select for the long term?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So moving right along.
Okay, so the next one is one of the most popular chapters from our readers, especially who are single mothers. It's called Don't Date the Coach. And
Sean.
This chapter is probably one of the most important to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily ruin a kid's whole vibe in success and, relationship with them by developing a relationship with the coach.
Yes, sir, because you don't know where that coach is, mommy or daddy or his sister or miss. So the poor child has to be switching personalities. Woo, that's supposed to be good.
Yeah. So that's a popular chapter, one that we probably always start with. So the next one is about learning the rules. It's called Learn the Rules, Develop a Jump Shot. And it's really about the amount of involvement that it takes. It's not just dropping your kid off at the park. I mean, anybody can do that. And when you drop your kid off at the park, you're really saying to anyone who's out there, you can have an influence on your child.
Mm-hmm.
And then wondering
why
they come back and acting in a different manner than how you perceive to raise them is kind of backwards. So learning the rules, at least being able to get involved to an extent, not saying that you have to be out there all the time, but enough to know a good role model out there from a bad one, and one who has your best interest at heart and one who has their best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is Get in the Game, Get the Game into You. And
say that again, Sean.
The next one is Get into the Game, Get the Game into You.
Uh-huh.
And this one was a really fun one to write, just because it's really about learning the aspects of the game to be able to talk with their child about it. And it's one of those things, I mean, my mom played tennis when she was a kid, so we already could talk about stuff. But when we were talking about, the other sports that I played, like basketball or like football or something like that, she would sit with me and we'd watch the game, and like she would ask questions if she had them, but it was to the point where we could actually have a conversation about what happened. It actually has made us a lot closer.
Right.
It's not just about learning the sport, and it's not just about entertaining your child or having their best. It's really about a parent learning to communicate with their child instead of always having them being able to communicate with you, do what you want to do. Showing some interest in the things that they like goes a long way.
Yeah, if I could interject here, because you hear a lot of parents complain that the kid isn't talking. And I always say the kid isn't talking because the kid is not interested in what you want to talk about. So we need as parents to find out where our children's interest lies, so that when we begin a conversation, it will be stimulating to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if we're always talking about school, or we're always talking about how our day went, or bland stuff or stuff that doesn't show our passion.
Right.
Then we're not going to say a lot.
Exactly.
But we'll talk, but we don't talk. They say boys don't talk. Boys talk a lot. They just don't always talk about the stuff that you're interested or you want us to talk about. So finding a common ground is important. I talk with my friends all the time. So.
Sean, I need you to help me out here. Can you tell me what boys like to talk about?
If a boy is into sports, then a boy will like to talk about sports. If the boy is into chess, for example, then he'll like to talk about chess. I mean, we'll talk about stuff, but you like it's different for everybody.
I
know. You just have to find out what connects with that one person. So chances are, if they do it a lot, then it's something that they'll be interested in talking about.
Yeah, I was just pulling your leg. I thought you were going to back down, but you didn't back down. You stood up to it, so that's good.
I talk about anything from politics to video games to
Yes.
So whether it could be anything.
Yes. If you are just joining, we have another 30 minutes to go. I'm here with Mr. Sean Roca. So give us a call right now. He's just like thumbing through the book, and he's going to tell you where you can get the book to buy and everything after he's through with the conversation. Single Mothers, The New Father. And that's a book that he co-wrote with his mother, Kathleen Williams. So continue, Sean, please.
Sure. Okay. The next chapter is Head Coach Mom. And it's really about all the stuff that moms need to be aware of as they're going through this process of having their child in sports. The next chapter is called Sticks and Stones, Hardly Ever Break Bones. And this chapter goes into, just the things that will come up physically with an athlete that you may have to be aware of as far as going to see the doctor or who to trust and things like that. The next chapter is probably one of my favorite chapters in the body of the book. It's called It's All in Its Head. And the focus of this chapter is really on the mental aspect of sports. And we talk a lot about sport. I mean, this whole book is about sports, but it's about how to use sports as a tool for life. And the mental aspect in sports, I've seen it over and over. How you act on the field or on the court or wherever you're playing is usually how you act in another aspect of your life, in the classroom or working in a team or whatever you have to do, it usually transfers over. So being able to have an impact on that level as a parent, it goes a long way. Next chapter. Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
Sean.
Okay. The next chapter is called Throw It in the Bag, and it's about all the things as a parent that you may need to bring. The next is called Heels Sink in the Mud, and it's about appearance. And if you're going to a game, how you're supposed to dress to make the kid feel comfortable and all that other stuff. So we've seen that... we've seen the good and the bad in that, so we just wanted to put that in case for all the parents who don't know, or even the ones who do, so they can be reaffirmed. But it makes a huge
That's right, because the kids get embarrassed and all of that stuff, and they're never able to live it down. While you catch your breath there and wait to get to your next chapter, because I think you have said a lot there that should pique their interest in picking up the book. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and when you go back, I just want you to talk about your favorite chapter, and be sure to tell people where they can pick the book up. But I have two questions that I want to interject here now. While your mother was going through the process of those things and taking you all those places and raising you, did you ever think that this would one day turn into a career where my mother is empowering other parents how to do the same thing?
Absolutely. Actually, when we first decided to write the book, we could kind of see as it was progressing that this could possibly be a future career. She's just a great speaker, a great writer, and really personable.
Yeah.
Her just ability to go out and connect to people is fantastic, and I really think that this calling that she has, because she's so passionate about it, is just it's just a great match.
Wonderful, that's right. Now, your mother, besides being single and raising you and you having such a hectic schedule, she was at one time going back to school to change her careers too, right?
Yes, she did.
How did she balance all of that as you look back now over that? How did she balance?
I have no idea. it's just a credit to her. I mean, she's always made it look easy. And I know that it could not have been easy.
Right, as you grow up now.
By herself. But yes. I didn't see any of the difficulties that she has had. She's really made it look great. So,
my God.
Her making it look easy and her... just, you know, going after her dream.
Right.
It made me feel like it was, it made me feel like it was okay to go after mine.
That's right. And that is such a beautiful example. And that is something that will always stay with you. And this is a tool she gives you that will help you to do the same for your children when you have children. Because you know that. I don't need to pressure them to do. I just need to do so they see. And then they learn to do for themselves.
Exactly.
That is powerful. That is such a powerful example for anybody to lay out or for somebody else to follow by. So now let's talk about, unless you feel compelled to talk about any of the other chapters, we can go straight to your last chapter. The bonus.
We can go straight to the last chapter.
Okay, so
So the last chapter is a bonus chapter. It's called Make Sure He Can Take Out the Trash.
Yes, tell me about that, Sean. Why is that your favorite? Why is that your favorite?
I'm not going to go into too much detail.
Oh, boy. Not even a little thing?
But I will tell you a general information on what it's about. It's about trash talking.
Yeah.
And the role that trash talking plays while you're out there. And it's not what you would typically think. We actually wanted to be really honest with parents in this book. So we have a lot of information that people won't talk about. But that's one of the beauties of this book.
I got it, Sean. I am very good at reading between the lines. So whatever trash is there, it should be good trash that can be taken out. Because you can't be stringing him up when he come back, when you have the trash out there for him to take out. So be careful what the trash is.
I mean, it just goes into trash talking and the role that it plays with your child. So.
Beautiful. Another thing I want to ask, and if you're not comfortable with that, then we can move on to something else. But I know that a lot of single parents bad talk the other parent in the present of their child. As you grow up and you look over, was that ever a concern to you in your growing up in the two different homes, going back and forth to your father and back and forth to your mother?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question one more time?
There are times when parents badmouth the other parent in front of the child. So parents have their own challenges and difficulties. Mm-hmm. Was that ever a concern of you when you were growing up, going back to your father, coming back to your mom, and vice versa?
No, most of that stuff was kept away from me. And I think it was good. I mean, there's always frustration there. And I could always tell that there was frustration there, but I was never in the middle of it. I was never the person to vent to.
as much as I could be kept out of the situation I was.
Right,
and as a kid, you just have enough to deal with that. That's not something that should be put on the table.
Exactly. That's right. They shouldn't be burdened.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids shouldn't be burdened with that, you know?
Right.
I remember years ago growing my son, and he went to his father's brother to spend a weekend. And, of course, his uncle told him all the trash about his father. And he came back now asking me to confirm these things, you know? I know he was a teenager. And I just simply said to him, I divorce your father as my husband, not as your father. So when you get an opportunity to talk to him, you can discuss those things with him, because it was never a practice of mine, still is not a practice of mine, to badmouth his father. And children should not be put into those compromising situations either. So I am so happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, and I look at it this way. As a parent, or when you're in a relationship with somebody, once that relationship ends, then that person is no longer really a part of your life. But for that child, that person, it's not like the person can stop being their mother or stop being their father. So you bad-mouthing that person, you're also bad-mouthing your child. That's just my personal opinion on how that should go. In any case, I'd like to just take this time to say to everyone where they can get information about the book. If you go online, you can go to www.KathleenWilliams.com. It's Kathleen with a C. CathleenWilliams.com. You can find information about the book there and about the TV show that my mother has as well. There's another event if you're in the New York City area called International Men's Day. It's a day where we celebrate all the great men internationally, and in New York we have an awards ceremony. So for more information about that, it's November 19th. You can go to www.internationalmensdayny.com, and you can purchase tickets there and view pictures and get more information on that site as well. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I believe that Daphne has been cut off the line. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And thank Daphne again for having me on the show. And wish everybody a good night.
Yes, I was having some difficulty, and I think Mr. Sean hung up, so I'm going to call him again and see if he is on. Skype is acting up, so I'm going to call Sean back and see if I get him so we can have a nice closing out of the show. Skype has a mind of his own. So I am going to just dial him back. 343. So that was a beautiful conversation with this gentleman.
Hello?
Hello, Sean.
Hi.
I'm sorry about that. You know, Skype was having a mind of his own, so I know you hung up. My assistant told me that you closed and you gave the website, so I apologize for that. So I just decided I'll call you back, and so we can just have a proper closing out for for that. So thank you for understanding. And we have approximately 13 minutes remaining in the show. And what kind of a checklist you would like to give to young children who are listening to you to help make their life a little bit more beneficial as they go through this transition of being a single parent household?
Okay, so first checklist that I would give is helping out around the house. So it's important because there aren't more people to do things around the house that the child, you know, gets involved. That said, for parents, having them involved too much, they are kids, so there's a certain amount of responsibility that they're not supposed to have. So
that's right, that's right.
But yes, so I would say helping out around the house is important. Studying is really important. Academics, and not just what they teach you in school, but the process in learning is probably more important.
Right.
Most of the information that I was taught in growing up, I may not remember all of it or be able to recall all of it, but the thinking process and the way that I've developed has helped me exponentially throughout throughout my life.
Beautiful.
Next, I would say probably accountability is a huge strength. In a single-parent household, there might not always be somebody watching you. There might not always be someone checking up on you. So being able to be accountable for essentially the standard that you know is set for you is important.
Beautiful.
And those were the things that I would leave to the young listeners.
Beautiful. And what should we be looking forward to from you down the road? We know you're studying marketing and you're an economist and all of that good stuff. So what's in the pipe for you?
In the pipe for me? Well, graduation is high on my priority list.
Yes.
So I graduate next December, and I'm working hard in school. In fact, after this, I'm going to go study for a midterm that I have in 2 days. As far as the book, we're looking to promote it and really reach out to a bunch of people. We're trying to help as many people as possible. So spreading our message is a really big priority for us.
Beautiful. So for people who are going to be listening to this on the archive and want to engage your services for speaking engagements, how can they get you?
You can email us at info.kathleenwilliams.com. As I gave the website earlier, is www.kathleenwilliams.com, Kathleen with a C. For speaking engagements, information about the book, and information about some of the other stuff that we're doing as well, is all on the website.
Oh, you want to talk about the International Men's Day coming up?
Yes, it is the second annual International Men's Day Award coming up in Queens at Black Spectrum Theater.
last year was great. It sold out. So if you're interested in the New York area, we are honoring David Levy for Man of the Year Award, and we'll have a lot of people in the house, including former Mayor David Dinkins and a number of other great guests.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Sean, I want to thank you so much for investing your time into my listeners. I want to encourage you to keep holding the torch high, and I know that this is just the beginning of great things for you. I commend you and congratulate you for standing alongside your mother and such an amazing mission that continues to empower and transform the lives of single families across the world. Because we know we in America alone, we have a large number. And with you being on this show, with this conversation that is heard all over the world, you are not only investing in American single families, but those all over the world. I commend you and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
It was an honor, and I look forward to having you again. You stay blessed.
You too.
All right. Thank you. So, yes, well, there you have it. That was Mr. Sean Roker. What an eloquent, well-informed young man. And he goes to show you that it's not about the environment that you're in or that you're brought up into, but it's what you do with the environment. This is powerful. A lesson for every person to learn from, regardless of your age. You can still learn from the conversation that I've just had with him. I want for you to download this episode and share it with your friends so that they can listen. Pick up the book. The holiday is coming up. It will make a great gift for families who are raising or those who are getting ready to raise families. Being part of a single parent household is not the end. It can be the beginning to great things. You have heard it here on the A New Day Show. I thank you for listening. I want to encourage you to join us at the Vision Weekend Conference on March the 23rd through the 26th. At the Broadway Millennium Hotel, when the brilliantaire himself, Simon T. Braley, will be there to tell you how to release your brilliance. We have the joint venture guru and millionaire, Willie Crawford. We have Crystal Washington, Jan Mullock, Leon Ellis, Brian Ridgway, Ariella Mitchell Durant, Stephen Jackson, Cheryl Cuttle, Sam Orme, Jim Nemley, Chandel Pitts, Jennifer Sertl, Edward Foxworth, and Kobe Huberman. And I am your honored guest host for the conference. So we look forward to seeing you there on March the 23rd, when it will be a Vision Transformation Revolution Weekend. As usual, I am your guest, Dynamic Daphne. What an honor and a privilege it was to serve you this evening on this broadcast. And remember that you were created for greatness. You have a destiny, and do not allow anyone or anything to derail you from your destiny. Stay blessed, and I love each and every one of you.
Place you've called me to be. What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change